So just in case you don't know who that was in the picture you just saw, I'm going to start with telling you this story. Cowardly Lion lives in a land called Oz, a place that has good witches and wicked witches, flying monkeys, and a wizard. One day, a girl named Dorothy is transported into Oz when her house is pulled up into the air by a tornado and lands there on top of one of the wicked witches. Dorothy wants to go back home. She learns that there's this wizard that can help her get there, but she has to take a journey to the Emerald City where he lives. It shouldn't be very hard because she can just follow this path paved with these yellow bricks all the way there. So she sets off wearing these shoes that were on the feet of the wicked witch that the house landed on. She meets three characters on her journey. There is a scarecrow who wants brains. There is a tin woodsman who wants a heart. And there's a lion who wants courage. They have all kinds of adventures together. And in a couple of those adventures, the lion actually does some brave things to help out his new friends. When they get to Oz, the wizard sends them on a quest. So there are more adventures. The friends help each other through, and they make it back to Oz with the thing that the wizard wanted. And they find out he's not a wizard after all, just a man who is also lost in Oz. But he makes Dorothy's friends realize that they had the wit and the kindness and the courage all along. He helps Dorothy build a hot air balloon so they can fly back home together. The balloon lifts off before Dorothy can get in. So she ends up seeking out one of the good witches and finds out that those shoes she put on when she started her journey way back then are magic, and she can get home just by making a wish. The story ends with the friends gathering, sharing their gratitude for their time together and for all the things they learned about themselves, which they never would have learned, right? If this journey hadn't happened, they never would have met or find out that they had those brains and that heart and that courage if Dorothy had just known she could wish her way home. And then they say goodbye. The lion is my favorite character in this story. We first meet him in a scary forest while Dorothy and the scarecrow and the tin man are passing through it. He leaps out at them and makes this big show of himself, scaring them. And then he goes after Dorothy's little dog. She is not having any of that. And she smacks him on the nose. And he starts to cry, this lion. And she calls him a coward for picking on her little Toto. He fesses up. He says she's right. I even scare myself, he says. And yet, after the friends invite him to join them, he saves them several times. They come across this deep pit in the road at one point, and he has them climb on his back one by one and jump across this chasm that he doesn't know whether he can do or not with them on his back. There's another break in the road later on, and he holds off two really scary predators all by himself while the Tin Man cuts a tree to make a bridge for them to cross the chasm. So even though he's afraid, he faces those fears, right, to help his friends out. And that means, of course, that he's had courage all along. The metaphors abound. Our theme for October is the path of courage, but I don't think there is a path of courage. I think there are many. I think there are so many. And I think the lion shows us one of them, finding a reason to act as if you're brave when you're not feeling it. It's the path of courage Ellen Bass writes about, when grief weights you down and you think, how can a body withstand this? Then you hold life like a face between your palms and you say, yes, yes, I will take you. I will love you again. For the cowardly lion, the path is through community. He's alone before he meets these friends, and he's all bluster and bravado when he leaps out at them. That fades really fast. that fades really fast when he's called on it. But he learns to think of them as friends. And as that happens, he also learns that he has it in himself to risk himself, to protect them. His courage comes from his care for them. Courage is not the absence of fear, wrote the beatnik hippie writer Ambrose Hollingsworth Red Moon, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than one's fear. A little mouse friend we met during our time for all ages shows us another path. It seems he has the same kind of courage as the cowardly lion, the judgment that something else is more important than his fear. But the something that's more important for him isn't his friends, it's his own self-worth. Forever is such a long time to feel small, we read. The tiny creature gets so tired of being unnoticed and pushed aside, he gathers himself up and he climbs all the way up that rock to find the lion, to ask him to teach him to stand up for himself. He even wakes the lion up from a nap when he gets there. Where does that kind of courage come from? Research professor and storyteller Brené Brown wrote, "Courage is a heart word. The root of the word courage is cor, C-O-R, the Latin word for heart. In one of its earliest forms, the word courage meant to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. To speak one's mind by telling all one's heart." She continues, "Over time, this definition has changed, and today we typically associate courage with heroic and brave deeds. But in my opinion, this definition fails to recognize the inner strength and level of commitment required for us to actually speak honestly and openly about who we are and our experiences, good and bad." Or like the mouse said, it felt like the scariest thing he could do. But if you want things to change, you first have to change you. When I try to summon the inner strength and commitment I need to speak openly about who I am and what I've done and what has happened to me in my life, I draw from several sources. First, my friends and my chosen family, the people who love me no matter how much of myself I show them. These are not relationships I was born into, they're relationships I've made, like by responding with care and compassion when people have given me the gift of letting me see who they are and what they have done and what's happened to them, and by leading with honesty and vulnerability myself. These are the people who have loved me into being, and I can be brave as long as I know they believe in me. My church community. This has meant different things over time. When I was growing up, it was the teachers in my Sunday school program who let me ask questions and told me what they thought about those questions. I know that not everyone here has had that experience, and I'm sorry for that. And I'm glad you are here. And I'm grateful for Unitarian Universalist religious education programs that work to empower our children and our youth to ask questions. We welcome them. Every question responded to with thoughtfulness and kindness boosts a child's courage to ask more. And this is so important. As an adult, I've been a member of two UU congregations where I've been nurtured into courage, where trust has been put in my participation and eventually in my leadership, so that when I do speak my mind or my heart, I know it will be received with, again, care and compassion, and heard for what it is, my truth. And now I'm a minister, informed and bolstered by those experiences. That is some of what brought me here, so that I can lead with the vulnerability necessary to invite others into trust and courage. And finally, my faith. That requires some definition. I've learned to develop a sense of trust in the universe. That's a very grand statement. It's based, that trust, on seeing the cycles of the seasons. They come over and over and over in ways that are mostly the same every time. The snow melts, the buds pop, the flowers bloom, the fruit grows, the plants die back, everything rests. Repeat. The birds go and they come back. The tides come in and out. The earth keeps spinning and keeps orbiting. The stars are the same every night, or at least predictable. They move, as do we. But I can rest in that. I can rest in that. And when something unexpected happens, like they do, I know all of this is still holding me. And I can hold that unexpected thing, maybe not right away, but eventually. And I can keep going, and I can say, yes, I will take you. I will love you again. I'm sure you're getting the sense that these sources aren't just sources. They are reciprocities. The offering of trust that becomes a source of courage goes both ways, all ways. And as we learn and practice courage, we invite others to do the same, whether we mean to or not. We hold each other, we inspire each other, we offer each other reasons and ways to be brave all the time. Every time we take a chance like that little mouse did, we make space for someone else to do the same. That's my last point today, and it will be my jumping off point next Sunday, when we talk about the courage we need and help each other find as we work toward love and justice. May it be so, and may we be so.